This recording begins with the current version of the Shir, continues on with a quick review of the Shir, and then moves on to the last cycle of the Daf Yomi for the previous version of the Shir, which of course has different people involved, different ambience. You may want to hear both of them and use the second one as a chazor. You may actually prefer the previous cycle to this one. Today's Daf is Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Samach Aluf, the last Daf of the fourth parak of Yishmael Omer. We got up to the Mishnah on the top of the Daf. And this is the Mishnah we referred to earlier, where somebody was giving a hechsher to the wine of a non-Jew, which meant, obviously, that he had to be able to guarantee that there was no maga of akum on it. After all, the work had been done by Jewish workers, and they'd cleaned out the gut, and so on and so forth. So now he finishes that process, and he hasn't paid for the wine yet. So he leaves now the wine in the reshut of the Oved Kochavim, and he's then going to be selling it, and he'll pay him after he sells. Now you'll recall that Rashi said earlier, when we first brought this up, that it's talking about that he actually had the wine sealed, and he had the keys to the storage room. And this sugya, Rashi takes the same Mishnah, and doesn't say that at all. He says doesn't need it. And there were two separate Mahadurot in Rashi. It tells us pretty the difference between the Mahadura Kaman and Mahadura Batra of Rashi. And this is part of the major sugya that we had earlier. What is considered to be sufficient to be able to ship wine without any hashgacha at all? Is there a difference between a chotam, batol chotam? And here, once again, there's the major machlokas in between how the Rabbi Natam understands the sugya and how Rashi understands the sugya that we had some of it before, early on, about 30 daf ago. And what we're going to do, Bezrat Hashem, after we finish this daf, where even Rashi breaks, and he goes through a whole maskona. This is a maskona of this sugya, because this is the last piece of that. We'll first learn this daf, give you a chance to review this parak, and then tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, if you're willing to put in a little extra time, we'll go through the maskona in Rashi and bring in the other shitot, so at least we can get a little bit of a overview of the whole sugya. So here we'll just do sort of a brief job and take the approach that Rashi takes on this Mishnah now, which is that he doesn't really have any way of assuring that the goy is not going to be going into the wine, because it's in his own house. The only thing that he knows is that he puts it in a storage room, which is patuach l'reshut harabim. Now, it's not the place where the goy actually lives. So it's this house which anybody could see that he's in there. And he has a vested interest not to be in there. His vested interest is that if he's seen in there, then he loses his hechsher. Now, there's also another problem. If the goy has a right to be in there, then even if he's going to be mafsid his hechsher, the question is whether he needs the additional incentive of having committed himself not to go in, not only in terms of the hechsher, but to be frightened that somebody's going to call the cops because he wasn't supposed to be in there. And that was called nitfas alafki ganav. And here we have, again, a difference between how it is that Rashi understands the sugya and how it is that the Rabbeinu Tam understands the sugya. So according to Rashi, we're talking over here about a case where he's already given a receipt for the money on the wine, even though he never got the money, but he wrote him it kabalti, and that way he's not supposed to be there, and he doesn't have any ability to prevent the Jew from coming in and doing what he wants with the wine, because the Jew's certainly not going to be nitfas alav kiganav, because he could show a receipt that this is his wine, and that he had a right to have it here in this storage room. Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, says that on the contrary, that Rashi, the earlier Rashi's Rosh, was correct. And it's not talking about that he wrote a receipt. It's talking about that there was a seal. It doesn't even make sense that it's talking about where he wrote him a receipt, because then the fact that there were passer-buyers wouldn't mean anything. Because why would a passer-buyer think that when he sees a goy in the rishus, which the goy owns, that he's supposed to call up the Jew and say, hey, I just saw a goy in that place? I mean, obviously, he's in that place. Why wouldn't he be? If there was a mafteach to the room, and you'd have to find the guy trying to break in the door, and there was a chotam on the barrels, and you'd have to find the guy jiggling around and attempting now to carefully pull off the top so that he'd be able to replace it. And okay, so then he looks very suspicious. Anybody who goes by who's Jewish figures, uh-oh, this doesn't look good. The guy's playing around probably with a hatchet. So call up the OU. But otherwise, if it's not talking about Mafteach v'Chotam, then how is everybody supposed to know about the personal contracts that are Katafti et Kabalti? So the Rabbeinu Tam agrees with the Rashi's early approach, which he doesn't need to write et Kabalti. Rashi changes over here and understands that the Mishnah later on, which is going to say et Kabalti, is an explanation of what it is that we were assuming in the Rashi. As we'll see, the Rabbeinu Tam learns that that's a different case completely and doesn't give the same notions about if people are walking by and are going to call up and so on. That's not the issue. So again, here it's talking according to Rashi that the guy is not supposed to be in there and he's afraid if the Jews find out about it, he's going to lose all his Jewish clientele. Plus, he's got this additional problem of not being supposed to be in there, even illegally. So when it says over here that it's mutar because there are Jews in the street. But how about if it's an ir shekula of dekochavim? If the entire city has only non-Jews in it, so nobody's there to report, then it would be asur, unless, of course, there's a mashgiach. So there would need to be somebody ad sheyeshevu mishamer. Now, when we say that somebody needs to be mashgiach and watch it, it doesn't mean hina shem etzerich liot yoshev umishamer. When we say he has to be watching, it doesn't mean he has to be sitting there all day and watching it. Afa bishiot sevenichnas mutar. As long as it's random. In other words, if the guy doesn't know, then he figures at any time the mashgiach could be coming, so then he is once again mirtas. He's worried about it. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says something which isn't clear what he means. It's very, very vague. Rishut ovdei kochavim achat. Well, it's all the same. Thank you. What's all the same? Now, obviously, there's two ways of understanding it's all the same. He might have been medayik, the lashon of the Tanakhama, which says, not no brishuto, meaning dafka, the original owner of the wine, who's paying for the hechter. Which would be mashmah, if you put it into another non-Jew's rishus, that then we don't have to worry, because he wouldn't want to be found in the other guy's rishus either. I mean, the guy would say, what are you doing here? I mean, this belongs to the OU. Which comes along, Reb Shimon Elazar says, nah, you can't trust any of them. If it's going to be in a goy's rishus, then they'll probably get together on the deal. Because he'll figure, you know, so today I'll let him mess up the heksher, and tomorrow when I want to sell my wine, he'll let me mess up the heksher. So therefore, he's coming to be, in that case, it would be coming to be machmer. Now, the other approach would be just the opposite. Reb Shimon Elazar would be saying, what do you think? You're saying if it's all goyim, then it's not a problem. Mashma even would be in the other person's house. Be in the other person's house. It's the same thing as trying to break into a Jewish house. What's the difference? Why would another person allow him in? Which case he was coming to be Mekel. Understanding the Tanakhama to be saying that even if we were in a different Rishos, if that Rishos belonged to a non-Jew, you'd have to be Chayish that they would get together on the deal and make up that, well, it's okay, you've been in, what do I care about the OU? So that the Gemara is going to entertain both possibilities in Reb Shimon Elazar, as we'll see. Now, we had this earlier also, when we were talking about the raya, about pawned wine, where somebody has a lien, where there has to be a lien against the actual wine, a lien against that person, for us to be choshesh, that he would feel he had a right to be there and he wouldn't be caught when he's found standing next to the other guy's pit of wine, his boar. So we brought this in. Now, we didn't get into the details there, but over here, again, you could see that it's rather strange. Because is this part of what we were assuming all along in the ratio? So why are we raising it now? In other words, in the ratio, it didn't say anything about the need to say it kabalti. So what was the arrangement then? And now, all of a sudden, it talks about the need for it kabalti. So again, as the Rabbeinu Tam points out, it's clear Rashi must understand this here as being the definition of what happened before. And by the way, you should know that if he had not written a receipt that he already had the money and that he doesn't have a right to be there, then indeed we would be worried that he wouldn't be frightened of going in. Despite the fact that if he's found there, he would lose the hechsher. That's not enough, apparently. In other words, there's always two issues here. He's going to lose his Jewish clientele. So anyway, there's going to be a hafsid. But there's also the fear of somebody calling the cops, which makes it even worse. I mean, if it weren't going to be mafsid. So that's the question, how much risk will he run?
The receipt creates this also?
Yes, because now he has no right to be there. If he didn't have a receipt, that's what Abai was saying earlier. If he has a lien on the wine, see, figures will take a chance. What's the worst that's going to happen? So someone will call the cops. They'll say, the cop, what are you crazy? This is my stuff. The guy owes me money. Here's the lien. But, you know, please.
And we're not looking at it that he could just take all the schara.
He could take all the schara, but that he doesn't want to. The only thing that he wants to do is be menaseh.
No, I'm saying the yid could now take over.
If he has the yid kabbalti?
Yeah, is that not the pure backup? As opposed to nipas al vigano, that if the guy is going to be found, then we're just going to say, I'm keeping all you want. Have a receipt.
I don't understand. Be more mazal.
In other words, in the case of when he writes the receipts, Rabbi said that it creates a matzav of nitfas ol vigano.
Right.
But is there also the fact that if he has a receipt that says it's kabbalta mecham mois, if he sees the guy there, he's just going to produce the receipt in court and take away all the wine? Not his kabbalta, that it creates a kabbalta of he looks like a ganav, but rather
he's worried about a financial loss.
Yeah, he'll just take away the whole
thing. If he was worried about the financial loss, he could be worried about a chachila and giving him the receipt. I mean, that he's not chayshish for, apparently. Whatever the arrangement was, it was worth it for him. Apparently he isn't afraid of that, so it must be that it's in terms of whether he had a right to be there or not. Aval im yirtze Yisrael otzi. If it would be a situation where if the Jew wanted to take the wine out, and he wouldn't allow it out without actually receiving the money, then you've got a problem. With a story like that in Beit Sha'an, and they answered it. Because in that case, he had nothing to fear by being found breaking into the wine. He said, I'm not breaking into the wine. I decided the guy's never going to pay me, so I just took it. I never got a dime from it. Says the Gemara, so you're saying that only in a city where you have Jews living, but in a city where it's all goyim, there's no such thing as a city that are all going. What is that supposed to mean? What do you mean? Who owns the stores? Who are the traveling salesmen? There got to be Jews or at least traveling salesmen. Therefore, you got all these guys that are traveling from door to door. This was like the big thing in America in the previous century. It was a big thing that Jews would go around and they were the traveling salesmen. Or Marshmul, it's talking about a gated community where they don't allow Jews in. Doesn't mean they don't allow Jews in. It means that no traveling salesmen are let in. If they're traveling salesmen are let in, if the bottom line is that it's a non-Jewish community, so what would a Jew be doing there? Omer of Yosef, when it says that there was a door, it doesn't necessarily mean a door. Even if there would be a window that was facing the Rishut HaRabim, Rashi believes that the meaning over here, he brings both pshat, but he says he thinks that the correct pshat is that obviously the Mishnah says a door means a door. If he's saying a chalon is enough, it means a chalon that is particularly fearsome, meaning a Jew lives across the street. So there's a chalon through which he is afraid that a Jew will see him. Doesn't mean that he has to have actual access to the room. So that would be the equivalent of Rishut HaRabim. The same thing would be true of a dump. So if the dump is across the street, it would also be Rishut HaRabim because everybody goes to the dump, either the dump or to go to the bathroom. It's also called the dump, but it's not for the same reason. It's Ashpa. And therefore he would be afraid. Early this day, Richie. The diklak Rishut HaRabim. I mean, now even a tree across the street, or according to some, it doesn't mean even if it's not across the street, because there you could see for long, long ways. So it would mean just that he could see into the window from the top of the tree. It's since people go up to the top of the tree to pick fruit, so he's always afraid that the guy's going to be there. How about if posig reshe, if the top of the tree was cut off, so it no longer produces, it's a palm tree, it's no longer producing fruit, then pliga baravacha ravina is the issue only because people would go up there for the fruit, or is there another issue? So one man yomer says it's asr even if he doesn't have fruit, and one man yomer says it's mutter. So manda asr, the one who says it's asr, he says the guy thinks to himself, what would anybody doing at the top of a tree? Nothing to worry about. So lomalei the salikata, whereas the man the shori, he figures the guy is worried anyway. Why? Because he figures a tree is a great place to look for lost kids. If your kid doesn't come back from gun, or maybe your cow has wandered away. So there, he figures that the guy maybe is in the Avdolah Behima. Maybe an animal got lost. And he went up to the top of the tree to get a good view. So it'd be like a watchtower. But maybe he would be afraid of being seen from the tree as well. Tanu Rabbanan, Echad Elokeach, Echad Socher Bayit, Bechatzeros Shel Akum. Somebody now rents a storage area or buys buys a storage area in a courtyard where an Ovid Kochavim is living. He doesn't live there himself. He fills up the storage room with wine, milu yain, and there's a Jew who lives in that chatzar. Yisrael darbo ta chatzar, even though it's not the owner of the wine, then that wine remains mutter even though he does not personally have the mafteach, he does not have a chotam on the barrels, because again, nitvas alav kiganav is sufficient, and the guy is knowing that there was a Jew across the street who could come out at any time in the same chatzar, is sufficient for him to be nitvas alav kiganav. If, however, a Jew only lives b'chatzer acheret, it could be mutter. But over there would only be mutter if mafteach v'chotam biyado. But it would not be mutter for stam mirta. Now again, as we pointed out earlier, the Rabbeinu Tam Tainas, I mean, if you're ready to say that a rochel, who's chozer by, or you're saying a traveling salesman, is enough, to would have been enough, it hadn't been a gated community, would have been enough to create mirtat, then obviously there's got to be something that looks suspicious to a traveling salesman. What the heck would look suspicious to a traveling salesman? So it's got to be talking about that it was mafter fechot. I mean, the guy is seen as breaking in. Okay, now over here also, even though you've got, here you don't have that issue. You've got a Yisrael in a different chatzar, so you don't have a continual mirta, but the fact that it's the mafter v'chotam biyado means that now he's more frightened. He can't just casually walk in. So over there, the Yisrael v'chotzar acheret, but suppose you're shipping it with him. You see the problem? I mean, here it seems to be saying, if the Yisrael is b'chotzar, what about if there's no Yisrael at all? So you give to a shipper who's out in a highway, and now you've got everything with a chotam and a chotam betoch a chotam. It's, as we saw earlier, it's not that these things cannot be forged. Of course they can be forged. Anything can be forged. It's a question of whether it's worthwhile for him to forge it, and or whether it'll be nitvas alav kiganav in the act of the complex work that he's got to do in order to forge it. Now, if he's out in the midbar somewhere of the caravan, then it would depend, lechor, on how we understand this. Does a Yisrael really have to be nearby? So there's some element of mirtat, the combination of issues on how worthwhile it is. Take it in modern terms. Stealing cars. So we spoke about then the difference between having an alarm in your car, not having an alarm in your car. For someone who's stealing cars, is 10 seconds. Literally, it takes an additional 10 seconds to disarm an alarm. So now the difference that the alarm helps you is that he's going to choose a car without the alarm. Because why should he take now? But there's two issues. Why should he take A, the extra time? It's easier. But B, why should he endanger himself with additional risk? But how about if he knows there's nobody around? So now, the additional risk is not the factor. The ease is the only factor. How do we figure in the balance of those things? It's exactly the same issue with the chotam and the chotam betoch chotam issue. Your Rabbeinu Tam's got serious problems with shipping. So that this is also part of what we're going to need to discuss tomorrow in the Maskana de Milta, when we go to the Rashi after the parak. Hamitaher yeno shel avid kochavim birshuto. The Israel dar bota chatzer. Now, this was all talking about over here. Remember, the first two cases is where the Jew owns the wine and he's rented the storage space, or he's bought the storage space in another chatzer. Case A was a Jew lives in that chatzer, even though it's not him. Case B was a Jew lives in an adjacent chatzer. Case A was without the mafter v'chotam. Case B was with the mafter v'chotam. Now let's talk about case C and D. In case C and D, the wine belongs to the goy, except that he is using the OU to give him an extra on this wine. Now the question is, can he be trusted to have the wine in that reshus? Okay, so here we get into the other issues. In the case where Yenoshal Oveid Kochavim, case C, in his own reshut, and the Yisrael is darbo tachatzer, since it's the guy's own wine, he's not worried about the nitfas alav kiganav, he's only worried about the loss of the heksher. Therefore, it only be mutter if mafteach v'chotam biyado. So it's a combination now of the amount of time and suspicion he's going to be ma'orah in breaking in. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Latana, no, that's not true. Because, I mean, that was what we saw in the Mishnah. The Mishnah was talking about, Tani, afa pishei mafter v'chotam biyado mutar. If he lives there in the same chotzer, remember, and this was the Rabbi Tam's point, I mean, the case in the Mishnah is where it's in the reshus of the Akum, not that a Jew lives in the same chotzer, but that it's open to people walking by Rishut Rabin. There's obviously a difference between a case where the person lives in exactly the same chotzer, and every time he goes out, 100 times a day, he passes right by and he's going to see him. Over there, you don't need that the mafter for chotam should be biyado. According to Rashi, it is the case in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, you don't need the chotam and mafter biyado. So it says Rabbi Yochanan, you got that wrong. You don't need a mashgiach either. Because according to Rashi, it's talking about that he has the receipt of the itkabalt. So the combination of I don't want to lose the hechsher. I'm paying extra in order to be able to make more money on the kosher wine. Plus the fact that somebody might call the police, that's what's going to control it. So it says Rabbi Yochanan, you got that wrong. You should change that. It's afabisha emafter chotam biyado mutar. If the Jew's living in the same chotzer, that is the best possible shmirah, even if it's a different Jew. If, however, there's only a Jew in a different chotzer, a chotzer acharet, then it would be aser. And according to Rabbi Meir, afabisha emafter chotam biyado. Divrei Rabbi Meir. If there's not somebody that's actually there, it wouldn't help to have a chotam and a key without a mashgiach. The chachamim osrim. Now it's not clear. I mean, Rabbi Meir also said it's osrim. So I was going to ask, what case is the chachamim referring to when it says chachamim osrim? Who was matir? This will have to look through which case it meant. But on one of the above four cases, the chachamim say, well, it's osir anyway. Ach yehi shomer yoshevu mishamer. Unless there's somebody that's actually sitting there. Or until such time that there is a mashgiach who comes once in a while. The problem is that lekitzin sounds like he's got a schedule. And the Gemara is going to say he's got a schedule, but he's useless. And that's one of the big problems with Hashgach, of course, is that they do get into schedules. Storekeeper finally comes to realize that this guy only shows up on Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I can do whatever I want during the rest of the week. So Gemara is going to say, what good is he if he's balekitzin? By the way, some learn that it doesn't mean that he's a mashgiach on the wine. It means that he's a policeman. So in other words, a cop is on a beat. Cop is on a beat. He doesn't want to be nifas alav kaganav. Nothing to do with their hechsher. But again, the beat is a problem if he's really got a beat. I mean, the criminals know exactly when he's going to be there anyway. He says, no, that last statement of the Chachamim, which case was it referring to? We have four cases. So is it referring to that last case where Rabbi Meir said, even though you've got the mafter v'chotam, it doesn't help? So then they're not arguing. That's what Rabbi Meir said. Tanikamanami, Meisr Ka'asr. Isn't that what Rabbi Meir said? The Chachamim are saying something that obviously Rabbi Meir is going to agree to. If there's Hashgacha, there's Hashgacha. Somebody's standing there. Rabbi Meir is not going to say it's Asr. So the Tanikamanami, Meisr Ka'asr. So that can't be the case. Ella Aresha the Sefer. Maybe it's going on the first part, which is case C, the first case of where the wine belonged to the Ovid Kochavim. And there was a Jew, a different Jew, that lived in that same chutz. So we're over there, Rabbi Meir never said it's Osir. The only case Rabbi Meir said it's Osir is the case D, where he wasn't living in the same chutz. It comes along, perhaps, on there, the Chachomim, to say, well, we disagree. In that case, you're going to need a mashgiach. I mean, does that make sense? It was that case that Rabbi Yochanan said to the Tana, no, it's, you don't even need the mafter v'chotam biyado. I mean, does it make sense that the Chachamim were coming to Asr, and that was the case? And they said, you need to have a mashgiach, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying, nah, don't worry about it. You don't need anything. You don't even need a mafter v'chotam. So he's saying that's a very big kula, this case, because the Jew lives there and is constantly coming out, so why would I need a mashgiach? That doesn't make sense either. So that couldn't be the case. Might it be, then, the Sefer of the Resha? Might it be case B? Over there, the wine belonged to the Jew. Another Jew was living in an adjoining chutzner. Over there, it said, well, in that case, it could only be mutter if there was a mafter v'chotam in the hand of the owner of the wine. So since over there it isn't his, he's nervous about it. Comes along now, the Chachomim, to say, it's not going to help. So the Tanakhama says that if it's in a chatzar acheret, it's mutar, as long as you have the key and you have a chotam biyado. And over here, the Chachamim are coming along to say that isn't enough. Because since it's not this guy's business to walk into your chatzar, so who cares if he's a neighbor? If he's a neighbor, that's not going to scare him. It's only if there's somebody that's appointed as a mashgiach. That's going to make him nervous. Because then the person's going to definitely be coming in. So there, the chachamim may be machmir. They're saying, no, liyolam asur, it's still asur, ad sheyed shomer yoshevu mishamer. Unless he was actually appointed as a mashgiach, or at least there should be somebody on the beat. Ad sheyavo mumuna haba lekitzim. What do you mean, lekitzim? If he's got a beat, then that's the worst thing. That makes him worse, not better. You're saying, oh, of course, if he's somebody who's got a beat. Sorry. I mean, there's somebody who is appointed as a mashgiach that comes in and out, but that doesn't have a schedule. Then it's enough. But to rely on the fact that a neighbor may come in once in a while for a cup of sugar, that is certainly is not chayisha. Now, we said Reb Shimon ben Elazar in the Mishnah makes a very vague statement in which he's arguing with the Chachamim, and he's saying, well, it doesn't matter, Rishut of Deko Chavim Achati, it's all the same. We have no idea what that means. Iboilu. Is Reb Shimon ben Elazar coming to be Mekel against the Tanakhama, or to be Machmer? As we spoke out in the Mishnah, there's two ways of understanding the Tanakhama and his response. I mean, the Gemara is going to go through the two ways. So instead of explaining it now, let's just wait 30 seconds, and the Gemara will do it for us. So Rav Yehuda Amar Ziri says it's coming to be Mekel. Rav Nachman quotes Ziri is coming. No, it was coming to be Machmer. And here's how it would fit into the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda Amar Ziri is saying it's Lahakel. Vochi Kamar Tanakhama. He understood the Tanakhama saying the following. Well, as long as it's in his Rishus, then his rishus would be obviously a goy's rishus. So kishem shebrishuto asur, kach brishuto vikochavim acher nami asur. Why? Because they'll all basically support each other in a case where it comes to undermining the hechsher. Why would somebody call up the OU when he figures next year I'm going to be doing the same thing? I wouldn't want my neighbor to call the OU when I go in a manasseh v'yayin. So obviously we all understand what it's about. And chashin and the goy. So we're afraid that they'll support each other in this. Comes along Reb Shimon ben Elazar and says, nah, come on. According to this, we'd be reading his comment as, Rishut of Eko Chavim Achati. What do you think? It's all the same Rishut. It's not the same Rishut. It's not all the same. He's saying it is Beloshim Tema. So Babed Varnam, Rishuto would have to be in his own private Rishut of the guy who was the owner of the wine. Avo Rishut of Eko Chavim Acher, it would be Mutar. Velo Kashin and Legomlin, we wouldn't really need to worry that he assumes the other guy is going to go along with it. And Reb Nachman Amar Zir says, L'achmir, Vochikama, Tanakama. According to this version, the Tanakama was saying, Bereshuto. And he meant to stress the word, Bereshuto. So it's Bamed Var Mamur Bereshuto, only if it's in the property of the same goy who owns the wine. Ava Bereshuto, Vekoch, Avimacher. Had the wine been put into some other goy's Bereshuto, so then what? This person's going to break into that person's house and have the guy call the cops? I mean, it's exactly the same. What's the difference if it's another Jewish home or if it's a goyish home? So, of course, he'll be chayish. V'lo chashin on the gomlin. Comes along with Shimon Elazar to say, nah, that's naive. Kol reshut of deko chavim achati. They're all basically in cahoots when it comes to screwing the Jews out of the action. And so, Mamela, if the neighbor says, listen, I'd like to go in there and, you know, bring a little of the wine into the church, you know, but the Jews are beginning, nah, don't worry, it's okay, next year I'm going to do the same thing. So they have now a gomlin. Indeed, that's the natural way of reading the Mishnah. That he's coming lahachman, and he's saying, what, it's all the same? I mean, that's strange to use a lashon of tema. So that indeed, the brayta supports the reading that he was coming lahachman, in that it says, Beferish, Omer of Shimon ben Elazar, Kol reshut of deko chavim achati mipnei haramaim. Because you have to assume that they're all phonies. And if that's the case, clearly he was coming to be machmir. There was an actual case in which Beit Parzak Rupila. A Rupila is somebody who's high up in the government. This guy was a famous guy that had a lot of interactions over here with Jews in the area. His name was Parzak. He was a Republican. And Otivo Chamra Gabi Arisayu. So he had exactly this maisa. He had the Jews now make the wine with the heksher, and there was money still due on the wine. It was going to be sold on credit. And he puts it into the house of a guy that was working for him in his field as a sharecrop. So Sova Rabbonin Kameh de Ravalamema. So the Rabbonin said, you know what? Even if you'd be machmer like Reb Shimon ben Elazar, and Kol Rishut Avikro Chavim are the same because of Ramaim, but that was because we're Chashinan Legom Lim. I will say, well, you know, I'll take care of you because next year you'll take care of me. But obviously, next year, there's not going to be anybody taking care of the Aris, because the Aris would never dare to even ask permission to store his wine in the garage of Parzik Rupila. So then there's no relationship between them, and you don't have to be chayish for the gomlin. So, hani mile, ki chashin al gomlin, where are we worried about this being a mutual arrangement, only where it's mutual? So, hani mile, hecha de komotiv hai gabi hai, so it would only be in a case where we could conceive that there would be the equivalent case, a mirror image of today, next year. Since obviously we don't ever consider a situation in which the low class sharecropper is going to make a deal with his this fancy guy and put his stuff in the mansion. What do we have to be afraid of going? Says, well, what's the matter with you naive guys? Adarab, it's exactly the opposite. Even the Tana Kama that is not Chayesh Lagomer, that's only because that's only where the person that's supposed to be cooperating is not afraid of the one that is asking for the cooperation, but to say, no, he'll call the cops. But, I mean, over here, what, you're telling me that the sharecropper is going to call the cops? And he takes out the badge and says, I am the cops. Did you have something to complain about? So, obviously,
we don't need no badges.
So, if that's the case, so obviously the chapi alei zechuta, he'll just cover for him. You don't even need the gomlin. Ahu karcha davi yativ be chamad Yisrael and ishtake chovet kochavim davi koi be meini dani. In other words, this large city where they used to have a lot of wine, Jewish wine that would be stored, and they found a goy who was in one of the cellars where there was the wine was sealed. But the question over here was whether, I mean, if he was hanging out over there, was he possibly, you know, taking from the wine? It would be no, I mean, it wasn't with the chotem or anything like that. He could have opened up the wine, and he could have drank from it. So what's the halacha over there? So they came to Rava to ask for the psak. Amar Rava, im nitvas alav kiganav. Well, it really depends on the circumstances. In other words, if there's any excuse that he would have and be able to say, this is what I'm doing here and I had a right to be around this wine. So then he would be if he nitvas alav kiganav, he wouldn't be able to say that. So then he would be afraid to at kedekach be touching the wine. The nitvas alav kiganav is not on the touching. The nitvas alav kiganav is on the being. In other words, he's very nervous when he's in here. If somebody comes in, so now the very fact that he's there is going to be nitvas alav kiganav. If he's very nervous, he's not going to go further and touch the wine to be manasseh. But if he isn't nitvas alav kiganav on the knisa, so then we are worried about it. Ilo, it would be asur. Hadran alach Rabbi Yishmael. But we will not begin the next verse yet, because as I mentioned in the beginning, we've got to do, even though Rashi, they put in Hadran alach Rabbi Yishmael, the next Rashi is Maskana de Milta. We're going to think about the parak as a whole. We need to have a summary of the different cases that we had, the main cases, what it is that we learned from them, and their practical implications, la halacha. So now let's just review the essential halachas over here, as Rashi goes through in his Maskana de Milta. Let's go through the cases, therefore, the different cases that we've had in order. So case number one, where you have Mada of the Akum, where you have the movement in the Akum. And of course, movement has to be bederech movement, as opposed to the case where we had before a sealed container, where we do paskin la halacha that ein derech nisuch bekach, and therefore we throw out that whole iser. If something is closed, it's just not the way that you're manasseh. So whether it's in a plastic container, such as the case of the leather container in the Gemara, or it's a solid container but it's sealed, that's not called kishkush at all. Therefore, it's not a problem. But if there is mag in the actual wine, but we know that there was no nisuch, So then it's Osir Bahana'a. What proves that to us? The case of the Agadiman. The case over there was, if you recall, there was a government appointee that would go around and would at random attack stores that had wine and test them to see whether they were mixed with water. So he would drill a hole in the top of a barrel, insert a straw, drink a little bit in order to taste it, he would spit it out like a normal wine taster. And there was maga, but we know that it wasn't for purposes of nisot. Nonetheless, we said over there that it was osir, and that was the case of Ovei Kochavim shekadach b'meineket. That the din over there is that it was havi le'maisa, and they osired it also in the hana'a. The next case was where there was maga, but he didn't even know that it was wine. How about there? There it's mutarbana, even though it's aser b'shtiyah. That was a continuation of that same Gemara, Daf Nun Chet, where over there was this haram, the guy who does whatever he wants, his redneck walks into the store, sticks his hand into a barrel thinking that it's oil, and then discovers that it's oil. So over there, the halacha was that it can be sold, and therefore it's mutar bana. Because he didn't even know that it was wine. How about if he knew that it was wine, but he had no intention of touching the wine? Well, that was the famous case of the guy who fell into the barrel of wine. He certainly wasn't interested in falling into the barrel of wine, especially considering the fact that he never made it out alive. So he definitely wasn't interested in falling in. And the case over there of Nafalabor, so the halacha was Elayamase, and we had over there the Chachomim saying Yimacher. That was the Mishnah that we just had. Rabbi Shimon in that case was Matir, even Bishtiyah, Aizal, Zangevenched, but we don't paskin, unfortunately, like Rabbi Shimon, and the din is that it's Osir Vana, but it's Mutter for Shtiyah. How about if he did want it? Oh, that's a little ridiculous. Sorry, what I meant obviously was that it's mutar bana, but also b'shtiyah, so it can be sold. Now, how about if he does have an intent to touch it, but his intent to touch it is not for purposes of dealing with the wine, but for something else entirely? That was the case of the etrog that fell into the wine. So he's not interested in the wine. He's going dashing in to grab his etrog before it's ruined by the wine. So over there, we also said that it can be sold. So that's mutar bana. How about where it's touched? Bekavana of maga, but it's using something to touch the wine with. So over there we had, that's the famous case of the kana. So you stick in a measuring machine, so you're bottling or whatever it is. That case was, there were a number of cases. That was the case of Madado Bekana that we had in the Mishnah, or Hitiz Sirah, so that there was a bug in the wine. You took a stick and you flicked the bug out, or there was foaming on the top of the barrel that you flicked off. In all of those cases, Ayadei Davar Acher, but it's clear that your interest is in something else, not for the purposes of the touching the wine particularly. So then it would be mutter, bahana. The next case we had was kocho bechiburin. Kocho bechiburin is where you're directly attached to the wine, but you don't touch the wine. That was the case where the goy picks up the pitcher and pours the wine out. Now, it's not talking about a full pitcher where he might have touched it, and it's only going through the pitcher, but since it's coming from his koach, it's mutter over there, it's usher even behana'a, and that's because of the, even though mikra, then it might be mutter, but we say, you know, lech, stay away from the whole thing. How about kocho b'chiburin, where he didn't know that it was wine? Now, that was the case where they accidentally asked the waiter, who turned out to be non-Jewish, to pour the wine for them. And then, oh, my God, I didn't realize it was an Arab. So Over there, the only machlokas was whether the goy figures, they would never have asked me to pour wine, it must be beer. So there's a machlokas whether that's what he would think or not. But if, in fact, he does think that, if we knew that he had no reason to think it was beer, so then it was mutter, completely mutter, even bishtiyah. The only question was whether he thought that. But everybody was moda. If a goy picks up a pitcher of wine and pours it for a Jew, and he doesn't realize that he's pouring wine, then there's no issur at all. And it can actually drink it, even according to the Rabbanan. And then we had the case of Kocho Shelo B'chiburin. That was the last case. The guy was angry, and he was rolling now the barrel and throws it in to the wine. So over there, if it hadn't been that he rolled it all the way next to the wine, but it was a chashash from the gia, the din would have been, as we said, the klal is kol shebezav tahor, b'yayin esek is mutar. So if it would be real zurika, then it's okay. So he throws it from a distance. There's no chashash of maga, even though it's kocho, but it's kocho shelo b'chiburin. Those are the different levels. Now, if you take a look at the tablet that's associated over here, these are the dinim from the Gemara. But remember that we brought also the Shita of the Rambam and the Gaonim, that there's a difference between Arabs and Christians, which turns into, Bizman Hazeh, a difference between Christians and of the Avodas Kochavim. As nowadays, there's no din of Nisuch, really, because of the question of the minhag. We said if it's lav derech nisuch b'kach, so then it shouldn't be an isser, in which case if people are b'kal not menasim, there shouldn't be an isser. However, remember that there's two very different issues that are involved in stam yenon. Overall, the main issue that we're worried about is benotehem. That's the question. That really should have nothing to do with anything, because if the idea is a social takana, in order not to mix, because we're worried that social mixing will lead to assimilation or intermarriage, so then it really won't matter whether it's the derech to be menasich or not. The other issue is whether there's really a chashash of nisuch. Now, you'll note that there's a tremendous difference as well in the implications of the halacha. If something is usur only because of mixing, then there's no reason to be gozer isur hanah. The only point is to usur social drinking. An isur hanah has nothing to do with social drinking. And therefore, that part of the gzera would never have taken place. However, there would still remain the isur of shtia. That accounts for the difference. So in other words, even if we remove a chashash, a real chashash of nisuch, we would still, in many cases, if it was the goy's wine and so on, we would asr it b'shtia. Therefore, if it's straight out stam yena, so it's a goy's wine. Okay. In that case, it's asr b'shtia, because we still have that gezerah, but it's mutter b'anah, according to the sheet of the Rambam, the sheet of the Gaonim, and the Shulchan Aruch goes along with it. So that you can rely on this, that you're allowed to sell nowadays that stam yenam, because there's no reason to consider it to be yayin nesach at all. So because of the gezera of benotehem, you're not allowed to drink it. How about if a goy touches wine that belongs to a Jew? Now, over there, lechora, it shouldn't be usur unless there's a real chashash. Nonetheless, there's no distinction that's made. It remains usur b'shtia, but it's mutter ba'ana'a. So it's all part of the gezera of stam yenam. We're not machalic between the stam yenam that is owned and the stam yenam that they took over, so to speak, where there was an intent to actually touch. If it was maga shaloba kavana, meaning that the guy didn't know it was wine, or there was no, he was, the case of the tree where he's coming down with his lulav in his hand, there was no intention to be maga. Over there, it's actually mutter to drink it nowadays because of the fact that it would never occur anyone to be menaseh. Over here, it's not the normal gezer of stam yinon. There's no basis even to be misrachik from a chashash of benotehem because it's not their wine. And therefore, there's no gezerah at all. Now, there's some of the poskim who say you should only rely on that in a mokum of hefsek. That's the sheet of the shach. But mi'ikar adin, there's sufficient to rely on. And remember, we're talking about an issur d'rabbanan, that you don't have to worry about this. You'd even be allowed to drink it. Not only that, we also had a case where a child or someone who really was never exposed to Avodah Zarah, he doesn't know anything about it. Over there, if he's inyodeh b'tiv akum, it's also mutter b'shtiyah. And there nobody discusses whether it's only because of a makom hefsek. Now, how about if we know for a fact that there was an intent to touch, but it was for a purpose? So over there, we have the machlokes Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, that we paskin not like Rabbi Shimon. However, the point is that in that case, it was talking about someone who was shayach b'nisuch. Bizman hazeh, when it's not shayach b'nisuch, there are those who are matir b'shtia. And you can literally drink it. And this is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, but only if you stand to lose a lot of money. There was a lot of wine there. you have a whole store worth of wine. In that case, we're matirin. But there, specifically, only because of Mokum Hefset. How about if a goy touches wine, but using, not direct contact, using something else? The Rama is matir, and he says very interestingly, don't tell this to anybody. Don't tell it to an Amoret, because they won't be able to be mechalek. But the halacha is you're even allowed to drink it, according to the Rama. Except that if a Pesach is asked by an Amoret whether he can drink it, he shouldn't tell him he can drink it. Because we're afraid that it'll be a pirtza in which there'll be matir. They won't recognize the difference between direct contact, or contact through something else, or maybe keach b'chiburim, and so on. So, because of that, it's better not to say it. But mi'ikar adin, he holds against the Shulchan Aruch, he's mekel to say that it would be mutter. So too, according to Rama, would kocho, where he even had kavana. So now he's in touch with the actual pitcher, would also be mutter b'shtiyah. And then he shakes it?
No.
That's not an issur anyway.
It's not.
If it doesn't move in any way, so that, and there's no way for, there's no way to stick. Yeah, but it's not the derech of nisuch. You mean he carries it after the asara sapkat?
Yes.
So that depends whether you can rely on them. If it's full, there's someone who say it's only if it's full that there's no way that he's going to be mishakshe. He's afraid that it'll pour out. Others aren't makpid that it has to necessarily be full. I'm just going to shake a bottle because stuff pours out. So it becomes not the derech of nisuch even like that. That's already a machlok, is how far to go. If it's full, so for sure there's no chashash. And then we had the case of maga shaloba kavana, or even kocho, where it's shaloba kavana. In those cases, everybody's moda, that it's mutter, even bishtiyah. So in other words, if a guy has no intention of dealing with wine at all, and he's someone that is not over Avodas Kochavim in a way that is ever nogea nisuch, both Rama, Shulchan Aruch, all are matir nowadays in such a thing, and possibly, depending on how you understand the sugya, even real Ovid Kochavim may be mutter v'shtiyah. That's already a machlokas. If it's both maga, that's indirect, Ayidei Davar Acher, that depends on how we read the Gemara about the lulav. So if the case is a lulav, where it was coming down off of the tree, is the chashash that was maga b'yodei, and that's the only reason it was asur, then that would mean that maga Ayidei Davar Acher, he didn't even realize his lulav was sticking into the wine. And he's far away from it, so there's no chashash of maga. Over there would be mutter afilu b'shtiyah, because the only time that we asured it was if it was close enough to touch it, or those who take out the girsa, b'rosh lulavai. And that would mean why it is Barosh Lulava. So it would be even if he's far away. So according to that, we never ask such a thing at all. That's already a Machlok, because you're showing him how to understand the Gemara, so he's munching. So it could be that even if he's a real Ovid of Adazar, it's Mutter. And there's no Isser at all. But certainly if he's not an Ovid of Adazar, we definitely rely on those who held that it would be Mutter. Then, as far as we mentioned also, the problems of transport, which the Rabbeinu Tam was very concerned about from the Gemara that we had before, because the way he's learning the sugya, even if you have the chotam, and you have the key in the hands of the Jew, you still need to have some element of fear. There needs to be the Yisrael, or there needs to be a window in which the person is afraid of being discovered breaking in. And that's why he says it. If there's no key, why would anybody think he's breaking in? He just walks in. If there's no chotemet, why would anyone suspect him of touching something that isn't his? It's only because they see him fooling around. It looks very suspicious. But that would mean that if he's not afraid of discovery, it's usur even in the case where it does have a chotem. And since we paskin in the end that there's no difference between chotem and chotem betol chotem, so how in the world could you ever transport wine? So the way the Rabbeinu Tam learns it, and this was a serious problem, you see, because the Rabbeinu Tam really liked wine that was imported from Algeria. This is a real maisa that the Tosfos brings. And the question was, could you drink the wine imported to France from Algeria? It was on ships that didn't have a mashgiach, even though it was sealed and everything was fine, but according to his own sheet on the Gemara, it ought to be a problem. So how was he moderate? Of course he was moderate. So how was he moderate? Right? So according to him, it should be awesome. So he was somech on the fact that in a case where a guy has paid a lot of money for getting a heksher and has paid additional money in order to protect it with the chotem betol chotem, even though you may say technically it's not nagia, because we paskin chotem betol chotem as the same din of a chotem. But the very fact that the entire purpose of this is to make money from Jewish clients, for that reason we would assume that he's invested in not doing anything that could ever be looked at as destroying his investment. So the more that he's invested, the less hashash you have. So even though Einach Inami, remember that until now we were talking about a combination of the problem of being nitves alav kiganav, which would mean that somebody's going to call the cops. And if he calls the cops and he's discovered as having cause, he's going to be sued in the civil court for destroying the guy's ability to use his wine. And over here, he's not afraid of somebody calling the cops. But nonetheless, in this case, remember, it was always a very delicate balance. How much is the concern for the tircha that's involved of forging the seals? How much is it really due to fear? How much is it fear of discovery in terms of legal fear? How much is it in terms of losing his investment because he's already invested in getting the heksher? So the Rabbeinu Tam held that in cases where there was a heavy investment in the heksher and in protecting the heksher, he himself is paying for transportation that should be acceptable when it arrives to the Jews. It's ridiculous in that case to be cheshesh that just in order to be menaseh, he's going to be menaseh. It's crazy. Because of that, he was matir al smach hatorzeh shata yayin shuvami Algeria, says the Tosfos. And based on that, since that was the way that it was brought from Algeria, it was all fancy action, and everything was all beautifully sealed with chains and chotemets and everything, he figured, wow, if he's going to that much trouble, it's crazy to think that he did it wrong, and he was able to enjoy his Algerian cognac. it's out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. You've already separated yourself from it. Another issue that needs to be taken into consideration as a combinatory heter, and that is the question of pasteurization. we know that Yain Mevushal is Bechlal. There's no Gezeiron because nobody is Menasech. And we're not even Gozer because of Benotehen. Because it's not the kind of thing. The whole idea of Benotehen is somebody brings you something that's Choshev. So that if you're mixing, you're not mixing in a stam with junk. That's why there's no gezeira about you drinking their beer, for instance, even though maybe you look at chila, we're going to ask you going into a bar. That's something else. That if somebody invites you, he's not going to give you junk wine. The idea of inviting you in such a way that he's attracting you to his family means by definition that it's going to be choshev wine. So therefore, neither in terms of yayin nesach, which, because this wine wouldn't be roy for the mizbeach, nor in terms of benotehem, would we consider this to be an issue. The question is, how about pasteurization? So in pasteurization, it is an interesting thing. In pasteurization, the heating takes place to about 70 degrees, but in sealed containers, so as to avoid losing any of the water content or alcohol content of the wine, because it has a low boiling temperature and the alcohol will boil out. Because of that, they keep it in sealed containers under pressure while doing the heating. One of the basis in the din of the heter of Bishul, what defines Bishul, is that there's been some loss of liquid content. So because of that, Reb Shlomo Zalman and some of the other modern Pesachim, this is a modern issue, pasteurization, taina that pasteurization is not considered to be Bishul because it can't be measured with idui, it can't be measured with loss of liquid content. Nothing turns into a gas. Now, you can be chalek on that, because maybe that's just a simon of what's considered to be bishul. The fact that it didn't lose anything shouldn't matter. Obviously, if I put something under pressure, it's not going to be lost in idui. Nonetheless, it might still be considered to be mevushal. On that day, Taina, that the fact is that most people can't detect the difference in taste, as opposed to bishul, where the whole point of the bishul that makes it lower class is that nobody wants to drink it because it's not as tasty as real wine once it's been boiled. Since most people can't detect the difference between pasteurization and non-pasteurization, and there are even experts that can't detect the difference, why would that be included in Yayin Mevushal? Okay. Yeah, exactly. As if you're not going to know the difference. And what's worse is, and this is another issue to Aser, is that once that becomes the standard wine, so you can't possibly learn that this would be an unusual circumstance that the Rabbanim weren't geyser on. Because I mean, that's basically the issue. What happens if Lamaise, a guy invites you and says, I got a beautiful daughter, would you like to have some wine? He brings you out Yayin Mevushal. So in this case, it should be usher because of Benotehem. But the point is that something that isn't Shchicha, the Rabbanu weren't gezer on. But over here, if that's the norm, so then why wouldn't it be included in the overall gezer? Because of that, many of the modern poskim usher, but not all. So remember, if it comes to a tziruf of reasons, so it's not the Nisa, according to some, or it's not... the person is not Ovid of a Dezora. Yes, but there's some poskim who say that that's only B'mokum Hefzid. But that wasn't talking about pasteurized wine. In other words, the question is how many different elements you put together as a poskim who knows how to weigh these things. In the halacha, it certainly makes it easier to be samech on those who would be mater in the case anyway. So that also needs to be taken into consideration. Otherwise, I mean, we would certainly aser even only b'shtia, where that was the case of kocho b'chiburin, where the intent is to actually pour. Over there, we aser b'shtia. That's why in the restaurants, we don't want the Arab pouring, obviously. So in a kosher restaurant, the Arab won't pour. He will bring the sealed bottle to the table and give you the opener, but he'll never pour it out for you. Now, as far as the secular Jew, that this halacha of a secular Jew is the Ritva Shita. It's brought in the Beis Yosef, who doesn't even mention it in the Shulchan Aruch. which is very suspicious. So in other words, the mashma'ut is that he did not buy into that ritva when it came to pasuking the halacha. So ritva shita is that someone would be mechal Shabbos bifarhesya. And bifarhesya means that with no hesitation, even in front of somebody that he respects, in front of a rav, it doesn't mean stam the guy in his own house, mechal Shabbos. He lives in a secular community, he'll be mechal Shabbos. It means that for him, it's like it doesn't exist. That such a person, since Shabbos and Avodah Zorah, both of them are connected to all Kol HaMitzvos Kulam. Somebody is Bechal Shabbos B'Fahesh, it's as if he's over Kol HaMitzvos Kulam like Avodah Zorah. Because of that, he should have the same thing as an Akum. Now that's a tremendous Chumrah, which, L'maisa L'chatchila, again, take into consideration all of the various issues. So if somebody is Machmir, which we are, L'chatchila, nonetheless, put together the question of pasteurization, where it's a question of aim. Nowadays, there's no menaschim. Said even a goy, according to some, would be mutter. Obviously, there's grounds to be very, very much more makel. When it comes to the manufacture of wine, there the hechsherim are makbid on that as well. So even though, and this people get very confused about, they say, well, yeah, I don't know, the guy wears a kippah surgah, you know, maybe just puts it on when he comes in. That's not the point. It's not, because even you'll say, you know, it could be maybe he smokes on Shabbos or something. Even if he would, he wouldn't be called a Mechal Shabbos B'Fahesya. So that level of concern is not really Nogei La'alocha. So it would have to be, a pretty special case. I mean, even Rachmana Litzlan today, I mean, the question of being Mechal Shabbos B'Fahesya, you know, the famous story of the Chafetz Chaim, when the kid was Mechal Shabbos, father told him, go meet the Chafetz Chaim. And comes out of the Chafetz Chaim, he's never Mechal Shabbos again. You know, so they asked him, like, what did the Chafetz Chaim say? He didn't say anything. He just held my hand and he started to cry. And he said, Shabbos, Shabbos. I could never bring myself to be Mechal Shabbos again. Somebody from L.A. told me an incredible story. That he was at a some kind of JCC kind of thing where they're having this program, and a rabbi was speaking, and somebody gets up and says the story, and an old man gets up in the audience and said, "It was me. It really happened." This is a guy from Europe. Guy from Europe.
He was speaking.
Oh, maybe this was a guy that this was Yisrael Bedlein telling this story. Crazy man. Okay. The beautiful story, the Panovich Rav. The Panovich Rav came to South Africa. He used to come to South Africa to collect money for Panovich. So after davening, one of the rich Balabatim pulls up in his car and says, "Would the Rav like a ride?" So the Panovich Rav says, "There's no Chil Shabbos in South Africa at all. There's just no Shabbos. There's certainly no Chil Shabbos." It's like it doesn't. They don't know that it exists. Because obviously nobody's going to offer the Panovich Rav a ride if you had any idea that there. Yeah, I don't mean to do anything wrong. So maybe over there also it's considered not the real, really big Chilul Shabbos. The guy's never heard of Shabbos. It's like a Tina Chinesh.
It only shows up on Shabbos.
Absolutely, wouldn't miss a davening for nothing. Now these are towns in which you could have 5,000 people coming to davening. Literally, no guzma. On a regular Friday night, 5,000 people. And you don't have a minion of Shemir Shabbos. It's unbelievable. It's a completely different culture. Hametayer yeno shelo veit kochavim, venot no brushuto, bababayit abatur brushuto rabim, b'ir sheyesh bal de kochavim, v'yisraeli mutar, b'ir shekulav de kochavim asur, ad sheyeshevu b'shamer. We don't really mean yoshevu b'shamer. Literally, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, Rishut Odei Kochavim Achati, or Rishut Odei Kochavim Achati, which we'll explore in the Gemara. Hametaher yenor shalako, v'notno b'rishuto, v'halak otev lo hitkabalti mibcha ma'ot, mutar. According to Rashi, this means, and only then would it be mutar, which therefore must be the case that we're talking about in the Reisha. According to Rabbeinu Tam, means even in a case where you don't have the mafteach and so on biyado. Hashem Kein, in the first case, we do have mafteach biyado. This is irrelevant. Aval im yirtze Yisrael lahotziyo ve'eino nanicho ad shiteno et mo'otav, then ze haya ma'ase be'beit she'an v'yasru. Be'ir shekulav de'kochavim, I mean, what's the difference? There's certainly going to be Jews there anyway. Ha'ika rochalina machzirim ba'ayarot. Omer of Shmuel, you never heard of these gated communities where no dogs and Jews allowed. So be'ir she'yesh la d'latayim uvariach. Omer of Yosef, v'chalon k'rishot rabim dami. That sounds far-fetched. When I was a kid, they still had those signs. So that, yeah.
Baltimore.
Baltimore. I know, maybe too. I wasn't kidding. So a window is the same, k'rishot rabim. V'ashpa k'rishot rabim dami. V'dikla k'rishot rabim dami. Now, if pasik reshe of the dikla, then poligor avachal ravina. Chad asar v'chad shori. Manda asar, lamalei de salikata. Manda shori. Zimnan da avdalei beima. V'soligli yunabatran, that's enough to make him nervous. Don rabbana. Four cases. First two cases where the wine belongs to the Jew. So echad alokeyar v'echad atzocher bayit b'chatzero shel avei kochavim. Humilu yayin. V'yisrael darbo tachatzer tzimutra afo b'sheim avtech hotum yadam. If the Yisrael is dar b'chatzer acheret, it's mutar only if the mafter v'chotem is b'yado. Hamitaher yeno shel avei kochavim. Now, we're talking about two cases of non-Jewish wine, but wine with a hechsher. And it's now left for Shuto of the Akum. Yisrael dar b'chatzer mutar, but in this case you would need the mafter v'chotem b'yado. Omler b'yoch latana. No, you wouldn't. Tni afo p'shei mafter v'chotem b'yado, it's mutar. If was b'chotzer acheret asur, afo pish mafter b'chotam b'yado div Rabbi Meir, v'chachamim osrim, ad sheyesh shomer yoshev u'mishamer, o ad sheyavo mumuna abola kitzim. What? Chachamim, which case were they referring to? Meaning, they must say for the Tanakhama also said it's also. What are they adding? Ela aresha the sefer. I thought Rabbi Yochanan said to the Tana, no, afo pishem mafter v'chotem b'yado. They couldn't be machmat k'dekach there. Rabbi Yochanan clearly didn't understand them to be referring to that. Ela a sefer the reisha, where the wine belonged to the Jew over there. The Tanakhama said b'chotzer acheret it would be mutar. As long as mafter v'chotem b'yado, come along the chacham and say, no, it's not enough. Ne'olam asur, unless you have a mashgiach, let's yoshev v'meshamer. Or she have a mumuneh abalakitzim. Mumuneh abalakitzim? That's terrible. That's griyutu. El achivam mumuneh she'eno balakitzim is what we mean. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, reshut ovdei kochavim achat. Iboilu. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar la'akel, in which case we should read that, what do you think, reshut ovdei kochavim achat? Or is he coming la'akel? Lachmir. Rabbi Yudha emre ziri la'akel, Rabbi Nachman emre ziri lachmir. Rabbi Yudha emre ziri la'akel, v'achi kama tana kama. Keshem sheberushuto asur, kach berushuto vikachavim acher nami asur. Why? Because chashinu legomlim. Whereas Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, why, you think it's all the same? It's only mamed v'amrim asur berushuto, avrushuto vikachavim acher, it's mutar, because he'll call the cops, v'lo chashinu legomlim. Reb Nachman omer ziri lachmir, v'achi kama tana kama. Bamed v'amrim amurim berushuto of the actual owner. Because he's worried that the guy will call the cops. Richard ben Elazar, instead is coming to Mash when he's saying it's very naive. Because you have to worry that they're in cahoots. Tanya Gavasir of Nachman, Omer Ziri, Lachmir, and as follows. Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Kol Rishut HaDekachavim Achati, Mipnei HaRamaim, obviously it's a statement, Lachmir. The Vei Parzak Rupilo Tivachamer Gabi Arisayu. So Sabra Rabban Kamei Rabba Lameima. Well, here there's no chashash, even according to Shimon Elazar, because Kikashinu LeGomelim Hari Milayecha Dekam Motiv Ay Gabi Ay. Certainly, over here the Aris is never going to end up Lavdaki LeTuvi Vei Parzak Rupilo. Therefore, LeGomelim No Chashina. Amalu Rava Adarab. The it's Afilam Anima Lo Chashinu LeGomelim. But that's of course he's going to be mechapil eschuta. You can imagine a case where he'd call the police. And Omar Rava im nitvas alav kiganav, then chamra shari v'ilo asur. Following is the daf from the year 2003 in the previous cycle.
Very big day coming up.
Zuk the Heilige Mishnah.
Hamitaher and Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. Perek Rvi Maseches Avodah Zarah. Hamitaher Yeinu Shel Ovdei Kochavim V'Notino B'Reshuto. Somebody who's working to be a Zakashus Mashgiach, he's working to make sure that the wine that is owned by a goy should be kosher and be marketable to Jews. We discussed this yesterday, Agav, the sugya that we had. And he leaves the wine in the reshus of the goy. So if it's a babayit, a patuach, l'reshut harabim, in a house in which you can see into the house from the reshus harabim, we'll see that a window that looks in is also sufficient. And it's a city, sheyesh ba'odeko havim v'yisraeli, both Jews and non-Jews live in this city, so at any time there may be a Jew walking by, it's mutah. Because we assume that the goy is not going to go in there and touch it, because he figures a Jew passes by and he gives out the word that I was went into the wine, then I'm going to lose all the money that I paid to get to someone I'm trying to market it to Jews. And he doesn't want to lose that, and therefore we don't have to worry about it. In other words, this Mishnah introduces the fear factor in Kashrut, which is really a fundamental element of Kashrut, because as we know, and this is the Mishnah that teaches us this very fundamental halacha, as we know, we don't need to have a mashgiach that can be made that he personally saw everything at all times. We only need that someone should be in a position that the goy or the person that we're being mashgiach over should recognize that at any moment he may get into trouble if he does something wrong. So we start off with a case in which people stop in the street may be able to look in, and that would be sufficient to deter the goy from doing anything that would ruin his business. If it's the ear, shekulah v'kochavim, however, if it's a city that is entirely a non-Jewish city, then it would be asur, because the goy has nothing to fear, unless achiyeshev u'mishamer, unless there's a shamer that he, and we're just going to turn off in a minute, just to take out some of the moisture from the ear. Unless there's a shamer who is sitting there and he has been appointed now to take care that the goy doesn't do anything to the law. But that doesn't mean he has to be there at all times. Ein ha-shomer tzarich liyod yoshev u'mishamer. It's no problem for the shomer to go out for a moment, come back later, and so on. Even though he's only a yotzei v'nichnas, since the goy is concerned that at any moment he may be seen by the shomer, that's sufficient for the hashgacha to give him a kashrut certification. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, reshut ovdei kochavim achati. Any goy is considered to be the same as any other goy. Now, if that's a statement, then what it seems to be saying is that the Tanna Kamma seems to have been discussing a case in which it's in the reshus of the person himself who intends to do the nisuch. As he says, if he's the nice neighbor reshus, right? Mashma, that if it would be in another goy's reshus, who doesn't have the excuse of saying, look, it's my wine, I can do what I want, basically, that then it wouldn't matter, because it would be the person whose reshus it is, say the Jews, the mashgiach, asks another goy in town to allow him to keep this in his reshus. Now that goy, if he is seen by somebody going into the wine, they're going to say, what did you touch the guy's wine for? It belongs to somebody else. So are you stealing his wine? So, no, it's that, on the contrary, he is nitzvah alav kiganav. People say, what are you touching the wine for? This isn't your wine. We know that this area was rented by so-and-so to put wine in there. So the mashma'ut is that the Tanna Kamma was only concerned that the goyim sold his wine at his. I mean, he may have something to lose if he's found. He's certainly not going to be dragged in by the police for robbing somebody's wine. This is what Tanna Kamma's mashma'ut, that's our only concern. Comes along now with Shimon ben Elazar, and he says, it doesn't matter whose rishus it's in. Even if it's in another guy's rishus, there may be a relationship between the two to allow one to be menaseh, with the understanding that if the situation is reversed, then his wine will be in his rishus, he can also be menaseh, but that's also religious activity. So no matter, he would be machmer. Now the other way of understanding, the mishnah, that's an excellent question. Let's wait on that question until the end of the mission, okay? At the end, the other option in understanding the machlokas between Reb Shimon ben Elazar and the Tanna Kamma would take it just the other way. It would be not a statement, but rather a question. He would be saying, Reshut of Dekor Havima Ati. You're making it appear that as long as it's in the Reshut of a Goy, that's the problem. Why is every Reshut of a Goy a problem? Why is it not only if it's in the rishus of the person who actually owns the wine, that somebody else would be afraid to go to the wine? That's not clear, the Gemara will discuss. The next case in the Mishnah is Now here is another question, and this is we discussed yesterday. Somebody puts the wine, after making sure that it's kosher wine, into the rishus of the guy, and the guy writes to him, whether it's true or not is irrelevant, writes to him a receipt that this wine has already been paid. So that means that now the Yisrael can take it out, and if that guy goes in to try to touch it, it isn't his anymore. So in that case, mutar. There's no problem with the wine. Now here it's not clear, so how does this relate to the previous case? Does it mean it's mutar in addition to the previous na'im? In other words, if there's people who begin and so on and so forth, but not that it would be mutar stam, which is how Rashi learns. And this is a result of Moshe's question. Or, the other way of learning it, is that as long as there is something, so it would be the quota on it. That would be sufficient. So in such a case, as long as the goy has no excuse, even though he's the owner, he really has no excuse for saying that it's his anymore, so it would be mutar. Avalim yitzah Yisrael otzi. Ruhi nomin yitzah hashitenot mutar. However, if he did not write such a receipt, that would mean that if the Jew attempts to remove the wine from his rishus, theoretically, he could say to him, I don't want you to take the wine until I get a check. So then that would mean that he views himself basically as the owner. Right? So in other words, if he goes ahead and he wants to touch the wine, and somebody comes say, hey, what are you doing? They didn't pay me a penny for this wine. I don't view it as Jewish wine yet. So over there he's not afraid. That was an actual Maisa Beit Shan that they went to Paschen, and indeed Asro. They said it was Asr because over there, since essentially he has a mortgage on this wine, so it's the Jew owes him the money. There's nothing to keep him from touching, he said. Says the Gemara, when you say, I mean, you said that there's Jews and Goyim living in the city. In other words, I mean, you're not telling me the proportion, you're not telling me the chashash, but mashmaut is that there's somebody around. So, what about, I mean, let's say it's a completely non-Jewish city. I mean, there's always Jewish peddlers around. So, I mean, what about the Avon guy, who's the Jew? So there's, remember, it's a takona even of Ezra that there should be people going around selling perfumes and so on, so that women, Jewish women, should be able to look proper for Shabbos and so on. And once we have such an hoga, it was very common for Jews indeed to live in places, I mean, where there's no Jewish women, that they'll go there for business. So why isn't the goy afraid that a rochel will pass by and will squeal to another Jew that he saw such a great touching the wine that he had left over by him, and that it's not kosher wine anymore.
Isn't it a lot less shkia?
Yeah, it's a lot less shkia. But did you tell me how many Jews there are? What's the portion, the proportion of the population that's Jews? He said, as long as there's Jews there, the guy will be afraid. So if that's the case, why isn't he afraid of Roch Halim? Amar Shmuel, be'ir sh'yesh
la'zor.
Very interesting. The ear she yesh la. My husband say, only your hairdresser knows for sure. A city that is locked, and that if somebody wants to come in, he has to go through a shomer, and people are informed. So it's a, what do they call these watched communities?
Gated
communities. It's a gated community. Well, if anybody gets into town, they'll know about it. So in that case, if somebody's in town, he won't go during that period where there's a Jewish worker in town. Omer of Yosef, the chalon kirushut harabim, tell me, a window is the equivalent of being open to a rishut harabim. So let's say that you have a house that has a window that can see to its petach, not really directly open to rishut harabim. It's open into a chotzer. But into that chotzer, somebody can look through a window, and that's also considered to be the equivalent of rishut harabim, which is mashma, and indeed many poskim hold this way, that you don't need to see the whole thing. In other words, let's say there's part of it that's not quite in view. But there's a chalon, we could see another part. So we have 100 barrels, you could see some of the barrels. The Surah Madaik, it ain't a finami. It's not that there should be a sense that he's watched all the time and that anybody catch him at this moment. But to go into that area, he feels uncomfortable that somebody's going to see him. So maybe they're not going to sneak into the side. Now that's one pshat. Another pshat that Rashi suggests is that chalon kushut rabim means that if a Jew lives across the street and he has a window that is open across the street from this guy's door, then it doesn't matter whether there's a rishus harabim there. What's important is that there's a Jew that could see it at any time who lives there. And that's what the concern would be to the goy who doesn't want to be now in a position of losing his investment. The dikla, there's also rishus harabim dummy. If there's a tree that a Jew is able to go up on, I skipped ashpa saying. The ashpa rishus harabim dummy. Now, all of the cases we're going to talk about now are places where people may go from time to time and where they can see from to a great distance because they're higher than the rest of the city. And if they, normally people aren't there, but I mean, people go out to pick up the garbage. And once they're up at the garbage, they can look down at all the houses around and they can see in. And that, even though there's no rishus harabim outside, but people know that when people are up in the garbage dump, they look into the houses. That's all they consider to be like rishus harabim. The dikla, and also, if there's a tree there on which somebody may climb up and then he's going to go up there to pick something or whatever, that's also rishus harabim. That means he never knows, somebody may look at me from the tree. Potzik reishe. Now, if the top of the tree has been cut off, and now there's nothing growing there, so it's difficult to conceive. The guy's going to think, why would anybody climb up that tree that I should have to worry that he's going to look down at me? I mean, there's nothing up there to get. Nonetheless, even if it's posik reishe, there's a tzad to say that it would still be osur. It's a machlokas. Pligi bar rav, I mean mutter. Pligi bar ravachav ravina, chadasar vachad shori. One says the wine is osur, because why would anybody go up there? And one says, even though the top of the decal is missing, it's still mutter. Why? So the Mandi Omar, who says that it's usher, he thinks, he says that the guy will think of himself. Why would the guy climb up to the tree if there's nothing to pick up? The male, I don't have to worry about somebody looking at me over there. And he just be accident kid, as if it's his area. And eventually he'll be menasek the wine. Umandishari, the man the armor that holds, that even though there's no food on top, it's mutter, is because the guy will think to himself. Zimna the Avdalai Beima, the Salakli Unabasra. People may go up to the top of the tree simply to be able to get a better view. Maybe one of his animals is wandering away and so on. So you never could tell. And therefore he feels uncomfortable with being caught and he's mocked away. So the question I'm being to what extent our Hashash is addressed by his kashashot, psychological kashashot, we already understood that a shomer does not have to be yoshev u'mishamer. And maybe there's a chance that maybe it's just the off possibility that he may just walk in right now, that is sufficient to discourage us. That's only in France.
So all this wine, is this unbottled wine, or is it barrels, or what? I mean, does it make a difference? These sealed bottles, or what?
If it does make a difference, yes. I mean, that's the whole, as I mentioned earlier in response to Rav Meisha, there are those that say that it's talking about dafka, where, and the Tosfos has a long discussion of this, dafka would have to be Isaac in making the Vaisim again. In which case, it takes some time, and it's a whole Isaac for him to do. But not stam that we're going to rely on this to be the equivalent of a Shem Yates of a Nikmas, in which case the guy figures any second he could come in. And this would relate to the earlier question, how does the first part of the second part of the mission to relate? Is this building on it? And saying that by the way, I didn't mention that you also need a receipt, so that then it would be possible for the guy to be, you know, to have a reason to be afraid if there's no receipt. Or is this talking about another case where it was a different consideration, namely the Chotamot, without the question of the original case of Shredman and so on and so forth. Okay, this is a must look.
Today we talk about bottled wine from Karam Mizrahi, when he was sold. Enjoys in bottle stores, is that another problem?
No, so as we said earlier, that when you have a double chesed, and that's called a double chesed because there's two elements that's in it, that the only thing that we need, if you recall, was to discourage it. We compared it to the idea of alarms on cars. And the alarm doesn't really deter anybody who wants to steal a particular car. The reason that it's valuable to have an alarm is because for the ganav, it's better to go to a car that doesn't have an alarm. So what does he have to be tereach in this one? He'll find another solution. That's the point. It's not that you can stop him. I mean, any idiot can forge a license. What's the big deal? But that additional tircha, we assume, will push him away already to do something else. That's what we're looking for here as well. It's not that this is a... All the criminals will listen?
Yes.
All the ones. You make us the pasteurization.
Mm-hmm. There's a question of Mavusha, whether it's actually Mavusha.
Yes. Yeah, but relying on that kula. You remember that we spoke about the Ramah anyway, about nowadays that the Goyim are not considered to be interested in Nisa, that it always is the equivalent, according to him, of Shiloh B'Kavana. So it would be koko shaloh b'kavana, which miikra din the Ramah tainas is anyway mutter, except that we say don't tell such avokat an amoris. So we don't want people to know about it. But lamaisa, as long as we have whatever other assurances, we're certainly going to rely on it, even if maybe it will be mekel legabe, you know, the bishul of the pasteurization of the lower temperature, also considered to be avokat. It's a tziruf of different timing. It's not a straightforward. One simple fact.
When did this gezeira extend to non-mechalei Shabbos?
We spoke about that. You must have been listening that day. That's the famous sheet of the Rashba that is not brought b'klal in the Shulchan Aruch, but it's brought in the Beis Yosef. And we mentioned that there are many kind of the zman in which the Til Shabbos is poros, and so on. People don't have choices to make regabi. It never occurs to them that there's anything meaningful about Shabbos. But it could be the cloud that even though she does an asris, because they're only asking us knas, they're not asking if they really hold it, gave him a din of akum, the whole dog of the god, they did, especially none of them are gay, but they say him, and so on, and that's obviously crazy. Okay, so it's a knas beyond, it's a knas, it's not shak to apply a knas, where you're not talking to people that the knas even register, they have no idea that the cloud is still a shabbos.
Not all of us are alike.
Exactly. Yeah. So there are many times that today, even if you would normally have been marked on such a thing, there's no basis to be marked. Okay, but I mean, because you know, there are many people that throughout the Beres, and there's a tradition to be marked on it. So they're, you're not going to give a hechsher to something that isn't. But again, it means, you know, this guy is not 100%. It's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. So the man, the Omar, who says that it's mutter, the wine, is because he figures that the guy will think to himself, you know, You never know, maybe he'll need to climb up there to see, you know, where his kids are. They got lost from school, or they lost an animal and wants to get a better look. So he climbs up to the top of the tree to look. Whether you actually buy a house in Akotzer where you live, or you rent a house, and you use that house to store wine, you put the wine of a Jew that's kosher, so now, in that chotzer, if there's another Jew who lives in that chotzer, you throw da bo ta chotzer, so then it's mutter, there it would be mutter because the goy is concerned, there's a Jew that's present, it's as if there's a sherman that's there, even though he doesn't necessarily have the mafteach, and he doesn't have a thing to seal the bottles that he could tell that it was his seal. The chotzer acheres, a Jew lives, however, in another chotzer in the city, it would be mutter, yes, on condition that there is a mafteach b'chos in biyod. So here we're getting already into the details that we glossed over earlier. Hamitaher yeino shel oved kol chavim birishuto, on the other hand, if, and this is now our case, it's now in the rishus of the Akum. And now the Yisrael, going to leave it by the guards, and he's going to be metairet, which should be kosher. And there's a Jew that lives there, next to that guy, in that same chatzar. Then it would be mutter if there's a mafteach v'chotam biyado. So it's in the case where it's in the rishus of the Yaakov, this now reflects back on our Mishnah, and you were mitaher his wine to give it a heksher. By the way, mitaher, of course, is not used here in the sense of tire, tomb of the tyrants. Mitaher in the sense of the, you know, like the Torah uses it, Lagabi Behemoth Tahira. This is kosher wine. You see to it that the wine is drinkable. It would be mutter there only if the Jew also has the key, and he has everything to be stamped, so that it's going to be a big problem for the guy. Well, what in the world? What are you doing without the key? How'd you get in? And this is not the chotem that I left on it. So on and so on. Omele Rav Yochanan, and the Tana Rav Yochanan said to the Tana, no. The way to say this over properly is to say that afal pi she'ein mafteach v'chotam biyado. Mutar. I think that in such a case, since there is a Jew that is living in the same chotzer, even though it's the guy's wine, that's like a mashgiach. So over there, even if you don't have the mafteach v'chotzer in the hands of the so-called mashgiach, the wine would still be mutar. Okay, so now we see that the questions that you all raised with Gabi, the Mishnah is really a machlokas over here between the way the Tana said it over and the way Rabbi Yochanan corrects the Tana, how we should have said the Mishnah. Now, in this second case, this is the Sefer. As in this case where the wine was left in the Rishus of the Goy. So now it's Bechatzer Acheres. The Jew lives in a different Chatzer. Then it would be Osir even if he has the Mafteach Bechotam Biyado. Divrei Rebbe Meir, v'chachamim usrim ach yei shomer yoshev u'mishamer. The chachamim say it's also unless there's somebody that's appointed to actually sit there, or ach yavom mumuneh habalakitzim, or you have somebody that shows up from time to time. And this is very disturbing because the meaning of lakitzim sounds like he's got a schedule, and before, if he's got a schedule, then the guy can always and know when he's coming, and that's not a very good hashgacha. You know, the goy will use the days that he doesn't come, or the times that he doesn't show up to do whatever damage he wants to do.
And Rebbe Meir wouldn't allow
it. So now the Gemara wants to know what is exactly the chachamim? What are they responding to? this mimer of the chachamim. Oser machi shomer yoshev mishamer. It doesn't seem to make sense to be going to Rebbe Meir, as we'll point out. So what was it referring to? Was it going on the closing case? So, I mean, it said that it's Osir, Apa Pishim Aftef HaFasim Biyado. I mean, that's what Rabbi Meir said. So what are the Chachamim saying? They're saying the same thing, basically. Tanakam and Nami Meser Kos. I mean, everybody agreed that that was not good. You needed to have something better. You needed to have a real Hashgacha. V'yela Areisha the Sefer? Is it going on the case of the first case that we had in the Sefer, where the Jew is living mamish in the same chatzar? So over there, Rabbi Meir said that it would be mutter as long as the mafteach or mechoshim was in the hands of the majgiach, so to speak, of the Jew who's living there. And the Rabbanan are coming to say, no, that's not enough. You would need to have a mashgiach that is standing there. Is that the case? Now, how could it be? If Rabbi Yochanan corrected the Tana, and if anything, he said that you're being too machmir. And what you should be saying is, doesn't make sense that if the Chachamim were arguing in that case, and they were saying it's not enough to have the Chachamim Biyoda, the Rabbi Meir should say, no, you know what, I think you should say that it's really mutter even without the Mafteach v'Chosen Biyoda. I mean, that's a violation of the extremes. One is saying it's usher unless there's mamash mashgiach there, and the other one is saying, nah, you don't even need a Chosen, as long as somebody lives around there. It's a very unreasonable. So it can't be referring back to that case. Ella, a Sefer, the Reisha, it's got to be talking about the second case of the Reisha where it belongs to the Jew, not to the Goy. And over there, the second case was that a Jew lives not in the same Chatzar, but in a Chatzar Acheres. So we said over there, if the Jew has a Mafer v'chotam, then that's as good as Ashgocha. As a mashgiach, and come along to Chachamim, and they say, no, it's not. You'd have to have somebody special, and the Olam Asur, Ad Sheyesh Shomer Yoshev Mishamer, you need somebody actually there, or Ad Sheyavol Mumuna Habal Kitzim, or unless you have somebody that shows up from time to time. Mumuna Habal Kitzim. Okay, we'll accept this chat. But does that make sense? Somebody who shows up from time to time, meaning what? That he has a schedule. So that's a legreyusu. I mean, that's a bad, that's not a good thing. That's even worse. And the Bishlam, in the case you're telling me that we hold that it's enough that there's a Yisro who lives nearby and he has a mafteach and so on. I understand. Now you're telling me that, well, if you have a mamuna abola kitzin, that's what you really need. Meaning that I know exactly when he's going to be there, when he's not going to be there, and I can do whatever mischief I want when he's not going to be there. Does that make sense? Says the Gemara, no, the way to understand Habala Kitzim, I mean, if you're taking Kitzim to mean a schedule, then the way to understand it is actually Habala Mumuna Sheino Habala Kitzim. In other words, the meaning of the Kitzim over here is at random times. That's the point. Doesn't come, exactly, it doesn't come at specific times. That's how we understand the word Kitzim.
That's the same thing with English. You know, Tzahal, the patrols, they said
the Kavlim used to. Exactly. They're not used to. They still do. They observe it and they get the schedule and then they know exactly when they can. As a matter of fact, now I've been told that they've gotten a lot smarter. Instead of trying to figure out, they figure out that once the patrol goes by, they're certainly not going to be back in the next 5 minutes, but that's when they're in the next baton. So you turn around and there's already a baton there. So, I mean, Bola Kitzim is not such a useful thing anymore. Then Rav Shechet Elazar comes along and he says, "Rishus Avdeko Chavim Achasi." Now, how exactly do we read that? Iboilo. Rav Shechet Elazar, is he coming to be Meitna, or is he coming to be Machmer? In other words, is he coming to say that you can't leave it in the house? The Tanakhama is coming to say you can't leave it in the house of a goy. And Rav Shechet Elazar is saying, "What? Kol Rishus Akum Achasi." I understand. If you're leaving it in somebody else's Rishus, that's the same thing as leaving it in the owner's Rishus. I mean, why isn't he worried about somebody calling the police that he's touching wine that doesn't belong to him? Why does it have to be Dafka, a problem of the versus the Jew? That doesn't make sense. So in that case, he would be saying Lahokes. Or we could say saying Lahasmer, that namely, the Tanakhama was saying only if it's in the Rishus of the individual who it belongs to, and comes along our criminal evidence and says, no, co-Rishus of the Gafalimah, even if it's any in any guy's rishus, it's going to be usher. Because even though you'd say, but that guy, I mean, isn't he afraid that someone will call the cops? He's touching things that don't belong to him. No, because since over here it's for religious purposes, there's a mutual understanding for religious purposes of that. I'm not going to hurt anything. On the contrary, I'm going to take a little wine and pour it out. You don't lose any money. It becomes holy. So, yeah, you don't mind. And by the way, if you don't say anything to the mashgiach, I won't say anything to the mashgiach when I do it in your house. So it's all you know, understood. And then Reb Shimon Elazar would be understood as making a statement. Why do you think it's only if it's in the Rishus? Because it says Rishus Sal. Why do you think it's only Rishus Sal? Well, you think if it's in another guy's Rishus, it's good. And another guy's Rishus, you can't trust him as far as you can throw him either. And you have to be afraid he's going to allow the other guy to go ahead and to be Menasseh. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Zeiri, he's saying it Lahaka. And he's saying it as a Lashon Tmiyah. What are you talking about? You think every guy is the same? I mean, if it's not his wine, why would he allow this person to go touch his wine? But Nachman Amar Zeiri says he was coming Lahachmir. And he was making a statement that all wine by the goyim would be Asur, even if it's not his own wine. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Zeiri Lahakel, he understands the reason to be Mekel. And the machlok is to run as follows. Valki kama Tanakama. The Tanakama statement, according to the way he understood it, was kishem shebrushuto asur kach brushut ovid kochavim acher nami asur. That Tanakama was saying, look, if it's a non-Jewish town, doesn't matter whose rishus it's in. Vikashina and the Gomalina were worried about a mutual understanding that would allow this guy to be menatzeh for the other guy's wine, with an understanding that when the tables are turned and his wine is in this guy's rishus, so then he doesn't mind if he goes ahead and he does the same thing. So Kashiyan Legamli, Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Aymer, comes along with Shimon ben Elazar to say, no, what do you mean by that? You think that all goyim are the same? Bamed varim amurim bershuto. The only time that we have a chashash that he is going to go ahead and be menaseh as if it's in his rishus. If it's somebody else's rishus, and that's what he was saying when he said it that way, he meant it the lashon tmiyah. You're saying the question is it a goy or is it a Jew? Is that the question? The question is it his own rishus or is it somebody else's rishus? If he's going to be nitfas kiganav on it, so then it's no good. Then it's a good for him and it's a good shmira. And that would imply that it's not a statement, it's a question. How can you say such a thing? The other way of learning it is Renachman of Aziri is that he was being machmir, that the Tanakama was saying, well, he called my Tanakama. Tanakama was implying that Bamedvarim Amurim Bershuto. Where do we say that there's a problem that maybe it'll be menasseh only if it's his own wine and his rishus? According to this, he's saying that the Tanakhama is saying it's only if there's a chashash because he is able legally to be there. But certainly if it's somebody else's rishus, and he's not allowed legally to be in this wine, he's not going to be in this wine. Why is he going to take a chance? I'm going to call the police down. Comes along, Reb Shimon ben Elazar and says, no. Kol rishut of deko chavimachati as a blanket statement. Mipnei haramaim. You have to always assume that they're going to make arrangements between them that would allow nisuch with an understanding that when the opportunities tables are turned, you'll allow me to be menasseh. Now the beit parzak rupila, this seems to be an application of the principle here. We've mentioned parzak. Parzak was a fellow, and they had these really flashy names in those days, you know? Sounds like something out of Star Wars. You know, Parsec or something. So anyway, Parsec was a Rupila. He was somebody that was hoshev in the government. Rashi says it means literally second in command. Hoshev of the prime minister. Viceroy. Yeah. I didn't make a bracha today, did I? No. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shekol Yevin Ro. So Usiva Chamra Gabi Arisayu. So he took wine. This was kosher wine that had been given now by a Jew. And this was wine that was purchased on credit, wasn't yet owned by him, and it was deposited in the house of his oris. His oris is his sharecropper. It was somebody else's rishus. And now, what happens is that we want to know whether this wine is recoverable by a Jew or not. So Lachora, it's exactly this case. Sava Rabbanan Kamei the Rav Alamim, huh? Rabbanan thought, you know what? Even if we would be Chayish L'Gaimli, and we would say, he's in the wrong, it's in a different house. Hani Mili Echad HaKomotzi V'Ai Gabi Hai. Aval Ocha, and Kivan Di Arisi Lav Darki, Le'Sivit Be'Pazik Rupila L'Gaimli L'Chashina. Remember, what was the Chashash of Gaimli? That I allow you to be Menaseh, because I figure one day the tables may be reversed. My wine may be in your rishus, and I would like to have the same kind of ability. So Mimela, they reach an understanding. But in this case, obviously, the tables aren't going to be turned. What are we going to say? The sharecropper, who's like the guy who's working on the field, he's going to one day deposit his wine by big physical revealer. And then he figures, gee, I better let him be Manasseh, because you never know when I'm going to need the favor returned. I mean, that's insane. The favors are never going to be returned. There's never going to be a time that he's going to be depositing wine by Beit Parza Group here. So in such a case, Lagomlin Lo Chashina, we shouldn't be Chayish, and we should say that it's a good Shmirah, even though it's in the house of a Goy, because it's a different Goy. Armanu Rava says, Rava, what are you thinking? Just the opposite. Adarava. Even according to the Man Yomer, who normally says you don't have to concern yourself with the chance that they reach a mutual agreement to do Nisach. But that's only because he's not afraid of him. So if the guy tries to do something, what are you doing in this wine? I'm the Shomer over here. But in this case, what are you talking? Bei Parzik, so Parzik is going to come in, and so back on the door, says, give me the key to the wine cellar. The guy's going to say, oh no, I'm sorry, I was appointed here, I mean, I'm supposed to be watching the wine. Yeah, right. So, I mean, in this case, obviously, it's there's nothing to protect the wine at all, because the guy is powerful, this man works for him, and that's not considered to be any type of shmira. So, where do we say that he'll stop somebody, and that the person will be afraid to go in there? That's where the other person, the guy who's watching it, doesn't have anything to fear from him. Kivan, the mirtet, over here, he's not going to squeal on him. On the contrary, machape ale, he is going to go ahead and be machape ale zachwata. He's going to say that, no, of course you didn't do anything wrong. I mean, after all, he's the boss. How did you do anything wrong? Now, Ukarcha, another story is that there was a particular town in which Aviyasi Becham of Yisrael, where they had wine that the Pashtus, Tosus explains, was left outdoors. That's why we're referring to it as a krach. In other words, it was a major center of manufacturing, and they would pile up wine outside and, you know, wait for the warehouses to open and take it in. And that was the norm. So these were the barrels of the wine was in the middle of the street. And there were also, at the same time, wine there, like the case in our mission, had belonged to a guy. Now, in such a case, Lechora, the Oved Kochavim is not going to be looked at as a ganev for being in that area. It's only if he pops open a barrel, people will start wondering, what are you touching over there? Okay, so the question is whether the tfisa and the negiya is considered to be nitvasalovki ganev, or just being there is nitvasalovki ganev. So there was a city, Davi Yossi Becham of Yisrael, and a shtaka, Kovigachom Davi Koi Ben Dani. There was a guy that was standing between the barrels. We had no idea, however, that that means that he touched anything. So what's the din? Omar Rava, it's the same principle. If in opening the wine he would be Nitzvaselov Kigana, then the Rama is Mutter. If he has no business being touching the barrels, and he's touching the barrels, and the alarms are going to go off, and the police are going to come, and he's going to be arrested if he would do that, so then the wine is mutter, because we assume that it's the equivalent, as we said before, it's like being in Rosh Hashanah. The Elo, however, if Lamaisa, nobody would say anything about it, then of course the wine would be awesome. Hadron alak Rabbi Yishmael. Asocheret HaPoel. This is a machlokis every time. He wants to get it into our thing. Asocheret HaPoel. Asotim Obiyayim Metaf. Secharo Asur. If a goy hires a Jew to to work in Yayin Nezach and to pour it out and so on. And we're talking about over here not Stam B'Kashash on wine. We're talking about real Yayin Nezach. It was poured out to Avodah Zarah. So then, because you're not allowed to be netted from Avodah Zarah, then even the scar that you're paid for working with this that Takruvas Achum will be on. Oh, that's a...